primarily was that they said, okay, would you be happy if we spent $50 million to build a terminal on this side so you could have your baggage carried across? It's like, no. No, we wouldn't. But that's what they're looking at. There was no discussion about more frequent ferry service. There was discussion about maybe a larger ferry, an industrial-sized ferry to run trucks back and forth. And there certainly was no option in terms of should the state spend some of that $50 or $70 million they're sitting on to subsidize for more frequent ferry service? Now, that was not an option either. So like last summer when they basically walked us down the path they needed us to go to make their jobs easier, they're probably doing the same thing now to us. And I kind of agree with Glenn. If they would just say, the bridge isn't going to happen. Let's talk about X or Y or how we're going to do that. I feel a lot better about this than... Now it feels like everything we do almost... feels like doo-doo. We're just not... we're spinning our wheels, and there's some folks up in the offices in Juneau snickering at us. Because in the meantime, they're planning to spend $50 million for another interchange outside of Wasilla or wherever. I don't know what we're doing.
Mr. Thompson.
Well, I think Mr. Painter and Mr. Kiefer get close to it. If you put yourself in the shoes of the DOT, they have a $30 to $50 million bill hanging over their head. What's the easiest way to make that go away? They have to connect this island to that island and to that road. The cheapest way to do that is some sort of enhanced ferry service. So if that's where we're going, then maybe this body needs to get our minds around the idea of, okay, if that's where it's going, what would we like to see done with the 30, 60, 110, 220, however many millions of dollars are in the pot to make that happen? What would we like to see that be? Would we like to see them endow a permanent fund to subsidize ferry operations between this island and the other one forever? That'd be great. Better than nothing. But we should really start considering some of those options. And it appears on the face of it, that's where they're going. And if that's where they're going, we need to be there ahead of them so we can say, well, this is what we'd like it to look like.
The challenge with that is that they have never come and said, this is what we want to do. They've never come to us and said, this is what we want to do. Sorry, guys, money isn't there. They've never done that. That's the challenge. They're kind of... Anyway, let's move on. Mr. Selzer.
I'd just like to make the comment that at least up there in Canark Arm and those guys, they are going to go out and get a revenue bond and look at a different way of financing. I'm not saying that this body should do that, but I think we need to look at all the alternatives, even if we have to turn it up and end up being a toll bridge.
Mr. Manager.
In terms of the schedule or plans to go to Washington, D.C. for lobbying activities, I received a note from the federal lobbyist today of the dates that he had submitted before, which are outlined on page 9 of the report. He now indicates that he has a preference for the trip to occur on February 25th through the 29th because of potential conflicts on the other two sets of dates. So if the Assembly wishes to schedule that meeting, we can proceed.
Any objections? Hearing none. Proceed. And who put in their request? Mr. Harrington? Any others?
Are you attending, Your Honor?
Yes.
I think that's sufficient.
Okay. Moving on.
This next point is a point of information for the Assembly. As the Assembly knows, we have an architect that has been contracted with by the borough for development of preliminary cost figures for the new swimming pool, and we've had some discussions with that architect recently. These are very preliminary projections that will be developed probably sometime in mid-February, but for purposes of the federal capital improvement project funding, which has to be submitted prior to that, I did obtain some prospective estimates, and these figures were based on the cost of constructing a pool in Juneau, and it suggests that the cost for a pool here in Ketchikan may be in the range of $17 to $21.5 million. The smaller figure is for a six-lane pool with a separate diving area and a warm pool. The higher cost is for an eight-lane pool with the same configuration otherwise. So I wanted the assembly to be aware of that figure, those figures.
Is there any way they could just swim in a channel? Mr. Thompson.
It occurs to me, Your Honor, that the city of Unalaska just put in a pool here in the last year or two. We might check with them and see how much that pool costs.
There were some issues involved in the Juneau process that raised the price a bit. I think the committee is meeting to discuss these things. We don't have numbers yet, but those sound a hair high.
This next point concerns a couple of issues that were discussed here to some extent at the assembly meeting. One, whether the assembly wants to come forward with an ordinance appropriating funding for the art project that was discussed. And also, there was a request by the Downtown Steering Committee to direct the staff to develop an implementation plan or strategy to undertake the improvements that that group has identified and outlined in Exhibit B of the manager's report.
Mr. Harrington.
On the public art, you all got my memo. Normally, I would not do this. I would not bring something mid-year of this size to this body. But I love that piece, and I think it has a lot of merit. And I don't know what we're asking for, other than maybe to get this. And so what my intent was tonight to ask for the four hands to have the manager sit down with the city folks and see if we can participate, if so, what is the parameters of that participation, so we have something concrete to deal with and some resolution. And that's what I'm asking for.
There's five hands. Megan, just so you know, there were five hands.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson?
I think, Your Honor, to address somewhat both of the things that Mr. Bockhorst brought up, when we were in our planning session, we did a couple things. One of the things we did was we said we wanted to take a look at substitutional costs and look at ways we can finance some of these things, like the Visitors Bureau arts or the projects that are city projects that they can in turn somehow refund to us through a PILT or some other mechanism in order that we can fund other things that would not be able to be funded with these funds. That's one thing. The other thing is we talked about prioritizing and putting everything into a pot and looking at all the different projects that these funds are available for. Right now, the funds are very, very limited. We have 200,000. I think we've allocated 50. So this would be the lion's share of that, but that's not to say that this isn't a valid project. I think it is. But I think it needs to compete for that funding with the rest of these projects. Mr. Rubens also said that a phased approach to this financing this could be done. So I think that's something that has to be considered as part of this. And until we have those discussions with the city and until we can figure out what all the projects are on the list, it's going to be very difficult for us to start allocating funds.
I think that was the intent of discussing with the city. Is that correct, Mr. Harrington? Yes. Okay. Mr.
So the balance, I just want to make sure the balance of the fund right now is
158,000, I believe. We had 208,000 or 203,800, was it? 203,800, and we appropriated $50,000 for Harborview Park.
And the next cash infusion is in a year. And that's expected to be about $2 million.
It could be as much as $2 million.
Mr. Lattis?
Thank you, Your Honor. I think this points out the need for planning and prioritization as we spoke about at our planning retreat. And the sooner the better, because these things will continue to come up. And I'm certainly supportive of this, and I doubt that there's there are other better uses, but I don't know that for sure. So I would like to have, as we go forward, more input from more groups and a really robust prioritization process so that we can make sure that we're stepping in the right direction when we take these steps.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. And to follow up with what Mr. Landis is saying, I had a conversation with Mr. Coos of the City Council, and he suggested that it might not be a bad idea to have a joint session between the City Council and this body and in work session to talk about some of these issues. I concur with that, and I would suggest that perhaps yourself or the manager might take a look at arranging some type of a meeting. That way we've got everybody sitting at the right table, and we can throw all these things on the table and talk about it.
Mr. Kiefer.
Unfortunately, when I hear the word robust, I think that our friend Mr. Menzies used that term three times to discuss the state's planning process.
I take it back. A good process.
Yes, a real process.
System level.
System level. Oh, God. Anyway, I agree with all we said. I think we do need to set up an official process for how to disperse this money. Because you're right, it's got a big target on it, and as time goes by, everyone and their brother is going to be coming saying, here's a good project. That said, we do have an opportunity with this particular project to move ahead. And I don't want to see that get lost in the discussion of setting priorities and goal meetings and conceptual listen. I mean, we could truly fritter away this a really significantly good project by talking about our priorities for the next 6 months. If we're going to do that, we need to plan to now, you know, to say, okay, we're going to set these priorities in the next 2 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever. I don't want to be talking about our priorities for how to spend that money in September, because that will basically mean that we have lost this project. And I sat on the committee that chose this project, so I'll put my, you know, and we loved the grand scale of it. Sure, we could have taken $150,000 and divvied it up for 18 different little projects that would have basically beautified this corner or beautified that nook or made this cranny nicer. But in reality, what you had was a chance to make a pretty big statement about what Ketchikan is and how we want the people who live here to think about it and how we want the people who visit to see it. And I think I would hate to see the ability to move this project forward get lost in our sense of wanting to come up with an ironclad process that will approve sometime in September.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. This project, this statue, is part of the Percent for Art for the Birth improvements, and the city, as my understanding, has already allocated half of the cost of this project, about $100,000. And so this particular item might make itself a good poster child to see if we can work something out with the city, because obviously when they came back and they found that the estimate had doubled on them or more, that blew their budget. It blew Mr. Rubin's budget and didn't make his damn sure. But this could be a good example, a poster child, to see if we can work cooperatively with the city and say, okay, you guys don't have enough in your budget to do it. If we supplement this with these funds, what can we get in return to do some other things in the community that we need to get done? And I think this could be an opportunity rather than a challenge.
Mr. Harrington.
I was the one who said it was 1% of the arts, and I was in error. This was not technically that. This was port amenities of some sort. Anyway, it got mixed up because I knew that KPAWS was dealing with 1%.
But at the end of the day, the city's budget did $100,000 towards the project.
When you talk about $100,000 given a $2 million influx next year, it's not a big pot of money, but it needs the commitment now. I would like to see us sometime in the next month or so either sit down as a body and just in a work session to talk about what are our priorities, but I don't want to do it in a vacuum. I almost think we need to have staff draw up those kinds of things that it can be used for and let us have a discussion solely and purely on what are the priorities and how much are we going to allocate to what. Anyway.
Mr. Painter.
I speak in support of it. I think it's a pretty cool project. We'll provide an excellent tourist photo opportunity. My question, I guess, is the committee, being on the committee, Dave, it's depicted as sitting on the dock. We talked about it sitting on the dock and what do you have. And what I'm wondering is, would a better spot be, you know, Whale Park, where it's more protected from tour buses and amphibious ducks and the like?
Yeah, I think the city was basically funding it out of what they called Berth 3 improvements.
And if it were to be moved other than on the dock, which I don't know if that's the right spot to put it.
Actually, it's not going to end up there. It's going to end up somewhere else that's unclear at this point, because the city... One of the odd things about this process was that we were asked to pick a thing that would go here, and yet the city said, well, in reality, it's going to be somewhere else, probably because we're redesigning the dock. You know, bend change and everything else is going to move somewhere else. And that's what Mr. Rubin alluded to, was the fact that this actually works in the project's favor, because he's not going to have to install it there, probably, and then up and move it maybe in 18 months.
In front of the Civic Center or some other options. I don't know. I'd hate to see Chief Johnson's get cut in two with a flying bollard.
That's a good point.
You laugh, but it's possible.
Yeah, it's happening. Yeah, it's... And I don't know, that might be... our job was just to go through the 20-odd submissions.
Or a stray duck.
Did you get your direction, sir?
No.
No. Okay. Perhaps you could lead us down a road that we may or may not want to go. You have a suggested discussion?
Just in terms of, some assembly members seem prepared this evening to commit to bringing forward an ordinance appropriating the money, and others are interested in a process that would first require discussions and consultation with the city. So I would appreciate it if perhaps the assembly could indicate its clear preference to go forward with an ordinance for consideration at the next meeting appropriating the money.
I think, keep in mind, there's a time element in this. Mr. Linus.
Thank you, Your Honor. If I was ambiguous at all, let me tag along with exactly what Mr. Kiefer said, which was, let's not screw up this project to make a process that will work for everything. This might tap us pretty much out of the CPV fund this year, and that's fine. But let's sharpen our ideas about how we get to a process where this will be properly vetted, fair and equitable, and have a good but not robust process going forward.
Mr. Harrington. Yes.
I put my vote with good now. I'm going ahead with this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Harrington.
The reason I was suggesting that we meet with the city was not to delay this, but this is a city project, and to get the actual dollar amounts that we need to deal with has got to come in consultation with the city and the artist, I think, and this is their project. That was what I was meaning when I suggested that we have the manager meet with the city staff to iron out that portion of it. The other thing that I want to mention is this is a year and a half long process, so we don't have to tap out the entire 100 grand this year to do it. As a matter of fact, I would be opposed to that. I'd rather commit $50,000 for next year to this project, saving a little money, because as you look at the Downtown Steering Committee's request, they're saying they want some stuff done this year that I have to agree with. This town is filthy, and if we can be taking steps to promote the cleanliness, to promote a better image, I mean, I'm used to it. So after our last liaison meeting, I went out and walked, and I was appalled at just how filthy this town is, and that's what the folks were telling us, and it isn't any terribly expensive item, but it's something we should be seriously talking about doing, is sprucing up the image here.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor, and I'll probably be a wet blanket here, and with all deference to Mr. Rubin, his urgency is not ours. this thing came to us out of the blue. We need to have the opportunity that we don't set a precedent and go down a slippery slope. And I concur wholeheartedly with Mr. Harrington. There are other projects out there. If we spend all the money or the lion's share of the money on the first one out of the gate because he has an urgency, that may not be the best precedent to set, and it may not be the best interest in the community. I think the conversation with the city should take place to determine if there's a financing mechanism and how much the dollars are. I think staff should take a look at getting some cost figures on some of the things that were suggested by the Downtown Steering Committee. And I'm sure there's going to be other projects that are going to come up. And this is, I just think we're acting precipitously if we allocate these funds at this point in time. I think we need a little bit of time to consider that.
Mr. Painter.
Well, I just want to point out he's got to send 50% down so they can get started on it. He's already got 50% from the city. He needs a commitment from the borough for the other $100,000. And it's a year-and-a-half long project. I don't see why we can't commit from that fund, that CVP, because in all likelihood, a year from now, we're going to be scratching our head wondering what can we spend that money on, as is every other community that is having to deal with this CVP. And the state of Alaska. The state of Alaska's fund is building, and they're not sure what they're going to do. In fact, it was Mr. Thompson this last week remarked to me that the state was talking about the possibility of putting the DOT in charge of the expenditures of the CVP.
Lord help us.
Yes.
Mr. Kiefer.
You know how to get rid of it.
Well, I don't think we are acting precipitously because, frankly, this is going to have to come back to us at least in 2 weeks. We're not doing anything tonight. We're simply asking staff to come back to us with a plan in 2 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it happens. At that point, I think we'll probably have a better idea just how much we need to commit as of right now, whether it's $25,000, $50,000, whatever, to keep the thing going. And yes, we do need to have a plan where we're not just reacting to every person who comes for us. I agree with that, but I don't want to see this get caught up in that process.
You comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, he feels comfortable with that. We're moving on.
Next point, there was interest on the part of the Assembly in having an analysis of the Ketchikan Economic Development Authority and the future and what should be done with that. The planning director did prepare an initial analysis. It's included in the manager's report as Exhibit C. He's outlined five different options for the Assembly, and I would just commend that to the Assembly. If you're prepared to give advice at this point or direction, we'll be glad to proceed. Otherwise, we can continue to consider that later.
Mr. Kiefer.
I've always been in favor of reactivating CADA. I mean, that's kind of where I feel.
Any other thoughts? Okay, moving on.
This next issue concerns purchasing of a garbage truck compactor. Last year, the Assembly considered two options. One is to purchase a garbage truck compactor for Public Works or to contract out garbage collection services. Our garbage truck for the Public Works Department is no longer operable. It's been taken out of service and commission. As a result of that, we did some further consideration of those two different options and recognized that there is one private sector regulated utility that is permitted to collect solid waste within the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, and their certificate provides generally that they can operate outside of the 1988 boundaries of the city of Ketchikan. More than 75% of the parks and facilities that are in need of the service are within the boundaries of the city of Ketchikan, and so that makes it difficult and impractical from the standpoint of the staff to recommend that that is the appropriate course to proceed. So we are requesting permission or authority from the assembly to proceed with a purchase of a garbage truck compactor.
Mr. Salazar?
No, this certainly should be able to come out of that passenger facility tax. We're going to pick up their garbage with it, but that'll be able to take the money out of there to get you a new truck. I mean, that's the way I would expect you to pursue it.
Any further discussion? Mr. Lannis?
Your Honor, I think it is appropriate that the borough have this machinery and the ability to do some of these things, not only in the parks, but routine maintenance items that are being requested by the Downtown Steering Committee certainly are squarely in the types of things that you need that type of equipment for. Whether or not, as Mr. Salazar suggested, that would come out of that funding, I don't know. I'm not prepared to make that discussion until that. Let's put that one on the list and then see where it goes in the priorities. But certainly I think we need the truck. So,
Mr. Painter.
That's where I'm at.
I just wanted to point out that I do believe there was a budgeted amount for this in this year's budget of $50,000. The Public Works staff came forth with two different proposals to date that I've seen. One thing that, and the last one, included what was called a cart tipper, and I was, I believe that's what it was called, and I was, I guess I didn't understand what that was, and now I know what that is. I assume that, you know, for behind the Reed building here and I don't know where else the dumpsters are, the cart tipper doesn't handle those. What it is, it's a big can tipper, not a dumpster tipper. And so the way they've been doing it with the previous vehicle was manually dumpster diving or whatever to get the refuse out of the dumpster and into the truck. I don't think that's a safe practice to do, with the possibility of getting cut, hepatitis, or injury, or whatever. Whether the receptacle needs to be changed to something that the unit can handle or something, I don't know.
Mr. Harrington.
Seems to me we had a motion on the floor a couple months back of Mr. Painter to buy one of these. At the time, it failed because it didn't come with a recommendation from the staff, and I thought that was the main reason it didn't fail, was it was before us, but not as a, it was mixed up with some other stuff. So I would say, bring us the motion. Let's see what comes of it.
Mr. Kiefer?
The main reason it failed is because I was in Hawaii. My wife wouldn't let me call in. Just bring it back to us. Hopefully you'll have the four votes this time. Let's get, they've been, yeah.
Okay. And the last point, the mayor had asked me to provide the assembly with updated bus ridership information. It continues to show improvement. Comparing the ridership for January of 2008, it was 13,735 people versus the same month a year earlier of 8,590. That represents a 60% increase. And then if you take the period from July 2007 through January 2008, there were almost 120,000 riders compared to almost 76,000 for the same period a year earlier, and that represents a 57% increase.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
That's good information. Mr. Kiefer?
If you're through with that, I noticed you skipped over both the Ward Cove-related items and Is that, you mean you didn't want to deal with those or talk to them, or?
They do not require assembly direction or action. It was for information only, and it is a significant issue. It was highlighted, but there's nothing that the staff is asking the assembly to give direction on.
Well, in the janitorial services, you wanted to know if we wanted to approve the contract. Well, never mind.
Mr. Painter.
On the water and sewer line issues, I'd like to commend you, I guess, for bending DOT's arm on accepting the responsibility for replacement of the two hydrants, because at the last meeting it was uncertain whether who was going to be paying for that. The question I had was the sentence after that on the says, other hydrants require fusion welding and will be repaired next week when the welder is available. I believe we traded in the pipe fuser for the T-attachment thing the borough owns. I'm confused as to, and you may not be able to answer that.
Excuse me, Mayor, Rick Boyd is here, and I believe he could probably address that question.
What was the question, Mike?
Well, didn't we, I mean, three years ago, I think it was Voteberg, negotiated a trade-in. The borough owned one of those.
Fusion welders?
Yes.
Right.
And they traded that in on the machine that does the
flange?
No, where you make a run off the pipe to somebody's house or whatever.
The research that I did on that, looking for that fusion machine, I was told that it was sold for $7,000 to Hoyt.
He surplused it and sold it, and he bid on it, and that's how he got it.
And it was a $60,000 or $70,000 item. But that is what became of it. Hoyt now owns it.
The recommendation.
No. I'd like to have somebody look into that, because it was, I thought it was like 2 years ago, because Voteberg is the one that brought it up. And the company that makes those machines, he had to get assembly approval to trade that machine in on the machine that makes the welds the ports on the mainline pipe for a branch to service T, whatever you call it.
Do you have enough information to make that research, sir?
Yes.
Okay. With that, so we don't detain.
Yeah, sure, I understand. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
It came to this table.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it should be in the minutes of the, okay. It was like 2 years ago. I mean, Jim Voteberg was only here as public works director for a year,
okay.
Year and a half.
Any additional questions of your manager? Mr. Thompson.
I had one, Your Honor. Thank you. And I'd like to thank the manager for providing this analysis on that RFP that went out for the new office space. But when I looked at it, I kind of took a couple of numbers out of it, and it looks like, if I'm adding things up right, all of this square footage, it really relates to the school district. There's 3,122 square feet of additional footage for increase in school district staff, and then there's a 1,452 increase for a larger conference room to accommodate school district needs. And assembly chambers added. I thought the assembly chambers were in the previous one, but you add those two together, that's, and then with the additional common mechanical circulation, that's 5,169 square feet additional. So it occurs to me that's where that additional size is coming from. Is that something that they're going to be willing to pay the per square foot cost?
There has not been discussion with the school board or school superintendent about funding that additional cost.
I'm really concerned about this, because we're going from a 7,000 square foot building to what we were originally estimated at 14,000, so double the square footage. Now we're at 19,000 square feet, and you know, office space at, you know, $2 a square foot, you're talking $40,000 a month. That's going to be a pretty hefty bill for this building. I don't know how we're going to pay for that. So that's my real concern, is this project seems to be expanding, and I know that there's new people and there's new eyes looking at it, but we commissioned that study in 2000, and I'd really like to take a good hard look at, especially the areas that the school district's looking at, because I think that we're going to be asking them to be putting the difference in that increase in size.
Mr. Kiefer?
Yes, up to a point. I suspect that whatever we do with the school district, we're going to end up paying, you know, for them to use our building anyway, because it'll be part of the money that we give them every year. I mean, we're going to get in the same argument we're having now with them spending $40,000 a year out at the mall. I mean, we can't then turn around and say, okay, we want you to be in our building, and we're going to charge you $15,000 a month rent. I mean, that's not because then we'll just end up paying it. I mean, we've got a circle going here. It's not going to.
Well, the end of the circle is a $19,000 or square foot building is going to be twice as expensive as a 10,000 square foot building. That's at the end of the day. That's what it is. I mean, it's property.
Any other questions of your manager, Mr. Painter?
Just to echo my sentiments there. I don't understand the sizable increase in school district staff.
Mr. Harrington?
Well, let's see what comes of the RFP, and let's see what we get. And
if you ask for a 20,000 square foot building, you're going to get a 20,000 square foot bid. If you ask for a 10,000, you're going to get a 10,000 bid, and there's going to be a 50%.
And if the 20,000 is outrageous and beyond, well, I just have to put the RFP ad out again at a little lesser building.
I think we're kind of putting the cart before the horse here. I think we need to weigh in when it does come in, and certainly weigh in the school district in references. But
well, then
discussing it here at this table before, we don't know what we're talking about.
Well, the question is this bid going to come in and parse it up that we can tell the school district your portion of this is going to be X and our portion is Y?
We're not making a decision on whether we're going to do this yet or not. Until that RFP comes back to us, that's when the questions that you're asking should be made, not here, because we're not.
I'm just saying.
Too early. It's warranted, but it's too early.
I'm just saying.
Other questions of your manager? Okay.
I have one, Gunner. You're doing a lot of work. Do you have an assistant manager in the works?
Soon.
Okay. Not soon enough.
Yeah, when does your wife come so we'll stop seeing you in the office?
Yeah, right.
10 o'clock every night.
Right.
I drive by, I go, his light's on. There he is by his computer. I hope he's playing a video game.
On you.
It's a small town, you know. It's a small
town. I guess what's being said to Mr. Manager, get a life. I mean, there's more to life than Ketchikan Gateway Borough.
You did watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But again, speaking on the other hand, truly appreciate all the work that you've poured into this. Truly appreciate it. It's been almost a month since I've had an opportunity to speak to give the mayor's report, and I had an opportunity as your mayor, I represent you at a fundraiser, which is a community-wide fundraiser for the Credo family, and this was an amazing deal, primarily because there's a school that was involved. As I explain this, everything was donated, everything, from food right on down to the gifts, and the amount of funding that was raised for the family was $20,000, this was a one night deal. They had silent auctions that raised about $16,000, and $4,000 was raised for auction and also for the food in total. So a total of about $20,000 that was raised for the family, and I was just totally amazed by how this community of Ketchikan got together to raise that kind of funding for that family. To me, it was pretty amazing. I had an opportunity to attend the Alaska Municipal League in the 22nd through the 24th of last month, which we as mayors had an opportunity to meet with the governor, and the governor came in and gave her spiel and left, and that didn't set too well with the mayors, and some were able to get their time with the governor to make their requests. During that time at the AML, I had an opportunity to meet with Senator Stedman and Representative Johansson, just talk about the issues within the community of Ketchikan, and which I believe that they are keenly aware of. And I do know that they're looking forward for us to arrive next week and make our needs known. The booklet that we put out annually, this one was already in the hands of folks there. We had an opportunity to meet with the Deputy Commissioner of Alaska Marine Highway and also the Commissioner of DOT to talk about the it's kind of interesting how they talk about the aging ferries, but yet still have not put in a budget any money for the aging ferries. But there was concern by the mayors that the revenue sharing, although it increased from $50 million to $75 million, that this may take the place of capital improvement projects. According to Karen Wrightfield, that she said that was not the governor's intent. However, be it not the intent, numbers of capital improvement projects was zeroed out, redlined by the governor last year. The 2030 plan was discussed, and a lot of discussion was the validity of such a short period of time for public comment. The bottom line for that was so that they can recapture and redirect $40 million as far as transportation funding was concerned. And it just totally escaped me and to ask the question of how much of that $40 million is going to be spent here in Southeast Alaska, most specifically through with the Alaska Marine Highway. I will again have that opportunity actually next week. Because what I understand is that we're going to have an opportunity to have an audience with the Department of Transportation. From Juneau, I was requested to attend a meeting in Metlakatla, and from Juneau I went directly over to Metlakatla and gave what I thought that they wanted me to give, and as far as the speech was concerned, and following which was well received. I think that just because your mayor attended their meeting, they were pretty pleased with that. This was a celebration of escapes me right at the moment. I'm having a senior moment. But in any event, I believe it was well received by the folks there, and I spent one night and then came back the following day to participate in the well-attended, actually, Department of Transportation meeting here in Ketchikan. I had an opportunity to meet with one-on-one with the new mayor of Metlakatla. He came over a couple days after this, and we just visited about how we could, as communities, work together and I think that there's some relationship, new direction as far as the new mayor is concerned, some relationship that is that could really benefit our community. I am looking forward to going into Juneau this next week, and also still have requested an audience with the governor. I think that perhaps it's pretty clear in my mind that the governor is not coming to Ketchikan, and in my mind, I'm no longer going to pursue that. I think just an audience with the governor and move forward with some of the projects that we have. And certainly I don't want to be in a position of an alienation of our governor from the community of Ketchikan. Also, with that, I am looking forward to this time that we'll have with our Washington delegation when we do travel. So with that, I have no other comments to make, unless if you have any questions of me. Hearing none, we have any committee reports? No committee reports, assemblyman comments. We'll hear from Maggie Saubert.
Oh, I'm here. Very interesting, and I really can't add anything to the meeting tonight, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kiefer.
Yeah, a couple things, Your Honor. Thank you. Thanks for sort of retasking the naming committee. We have such a great time, you know, coming up with things. And so, if you have any ideas for the airport ferry, please pass them along. I encourage folks. We would like to get a good kind of.
Which to know.
The ferry.
The ferry. Yeah. Well, it used to be bus. Yeah. But if you have any ideas, we would love to hear those. I guess I just wanted to note that we had the passing this last week of one of our predecessors on the assembly, Wes Davidson, who was a very important person in our community and certainly someone I looked up to, a great supporter of the timber industry and just of getting things done in Alaska. I think we will miss Wes being around. Just for the mayor, if you are going to meet with the governor, I suggest maybe you might want to kiss her ring. That might actually sort of grease the skids. And I don't think she wants to talk to us.
She's in the cabinet.
I'm not obviously this year. I'm not going to be able to get out of my local work commitments to go on the legislative liaison. So I wish you all luck up there. I want to suggest, if you have a few free moments, to wander down and take a look at what the city and borough of Juneau have done with South Franklin Street in terms of streetscapes and improvements and public art and a variety of things. There was a time in the last decade when South Franklin Street was pretty scuzzy. I mean, it was as grubby little Ketchikan is sometimes. And they basically made a commitment as a community to, you know, widen sidewalks and put in planters, and it's a much, you know, more pleasant area to be. Unless of course you're there in the middle of the summer, and there's 8,000 people, but still, it's better. Because I also want to suggest too that given our recent issues with the DOT, I know we don't normally tape our conversations with state officials in our offices, but maybe you want to take along some tape recorders or something, because at least we'll. If you ask them a question, say, you know, what is it you want, and stick a mic in their face and see what they say. I mean, maybe at the very least we'll come back saying, well, here's what you said in February of 2008, and we'll see how it changes.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. That's kind of hard to follow up. So I want to echo several folks who've said that our manager's doing a fantastic job. We had a meeting the other day. I said this. I wanted to say it for the record. I think you're doing a tremendous job, very professional, and I'm thrilled with the activity that's been coming out of the office. So thank you very much for your service, sir. That having been said, next week I will be in Juneau, but I do not know what my schedule will be in terms of being able to participate in the liaison. I'll be up there on business. If I can get free, I will try to attend some of the work groups. And I most assuredly will try to make it to the meeting with DOT, because I want to hear what those folks have to say firsthand. But I can't make any promises at this point, but I will be in Juneau, so I hopefully have some time to spend with those folks. So thank you.
Mr. Salzer.
I'd just like to comment on, while we're going out on an RFP for the for new building or proposals, that we start thinking about what we're going to do with this one, either put it up for sale or whatever. We can always have it on contingent on us accepting or doing something else, but a lot of these things can go on parallel. They don't have to wait till one's completed.
Mr. Harrington.
You know, with the manager's report tonight, it was an awful lot of comments and a lot of discussion. It sort of took away anything I had to say in assembly member comment. Good job.
Thank you. Came up with
Mr. Painter.
I just wanted to echo a pat on the back of the manager. I think he's doing an excellent job. He's you're getting comments from the public about the change of the atmosphere coming out of the Reed Building operations. I wanted to point out it took from the time the governor gave her press release on halting the bridge project, it took nearly 5 months for a government official to venture out of Juneau and come and speak publicly with the two local governments in regards to, okay, what are we going to do now? And I just wanted to also express my condolences to Wes Davidson's family, former borough assembly member, who spent put in a lot of effort early on, along with others, in regards to a bridge to Gravina. And I'm just wondering how many more assembly members will fall before there's ever a hard link to Gravina.
You're talking about us, or is it?
Probably.
Yeah. Mr. Lannis.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. I hope that wasn't a pronouncement of doom. However, I will be going to Juneau next week, and I think we have our work cut out for us because I think there are some real issues, and we do joke about it a bit sometimes here, but it's vitally important, I think, Your Honor, for us to represent the community well and to do our best to make sure that those in Juneau know that know our interests and there are plenty of them, so we're certainly going to work hard up there. That being said, I won't be here for the next meeting. I'm reminded that by the clerk that the meeting will be on Tuesday, and unfortunately I'll be flying up to Anchorage that day, so I will see you after that.
Mr. Selzer?
I wonder if it's possible we could get a little resolution drawn up to the Davidson family, thanking him for his service on the assembly and to the public.
It could be done. Thank you. Since we have no other business before us, no executive session, Mr. Thompson.
Could I just mention two things? One, could we get a report from the manager at some point on what the status is of White Cliff? We haven't touched on that one for a while. And I also wanted to remind everybody that there's a vote tomorrow night. So, yeah, vote. Thank you.
Finally, I just too would like to compliment our manager and all the work that's being done. It's been recognized as a lot of work coming out of the manager's office, but that's only supported by his team. And would like to thank the rest of the staffs for supporting the new infusion of direction. And I do know that one man can't do it alone. So I appreciate all the work that the staff that works for the Ketchikan-Gateway Borough, for all the work that they are committing to us for the forward movement of our community. With that, I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion.
So it's tainted. Good music this hour from